Whether you've been here before or you never left, don't let your time slip away. It's the worst kind of theft. You don't get any return sitting wallowing in shame. It's time to put in work, bringing greatness to your name. It takes focus and dedication. We're not talking about luck. You gotta keep moving forward. Welcome to Coming Unstuck. Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Coming Unstuck, a Step Up to Greatness podcast. Our goal here is to provide you with information and tools to help you reboot your health, mindset, and careers, and overcome that terrible feeling of being stuck when you know deep down you're meant for more. I'm your host and your greatness facilitator, Dustin Gruss. We got a special interview episode for you today, and I'm thankful for not only being able to have this person on as a guest, let's also be able to call them a colleague and a friend. How can this episode be of help to you? Well, suffice to say, the employment landscape has changed over the last 12 months. And while Chris McGuigan, founder and CEO of Professional Courage, has been consulting, coaching, and guiding both individual clients and businesses alike navigate the workforce landscape well before COVID-19 was a thing, she has also kept a finger on the pulse of what the expectations of companies are now and how she can help you or your company move forward in this ever-changing landscape. Chris and her team have even come up with a new series of content called The Requisite Courage, which she's going to share some exciting details with about it today. Chris, hello, and thank you so much for joining me.
Hello, Dustin. I'm so glad to be here.
It's always so much fun talking to you. We usually end up going off on some kind of tangent about you on a unicycle or some funny story about a clam bake or anything, but I'm always excited to have you on and talk and just to hear what's going on with Professional Courage. But it has been close to 2 years since I've had you on my podcast, and of course, we know I've rebranded it to Coming Unstuck. Why don't you give us a quick recap of how Professional Courage came to be?
Sure. We'll talk about Coming Unstuck. So I was, now it's been about 6 or 7 years. I was in a corporate position. I actually worked in healthcare administration and enjoyed my work. You know, I was good at it, but the part of my job, I worked as a director of operations, that I loved the most was kind of supporting my team members and even my colleagues, peers, in trying to understand what they were best at, to do a little bit of self-assessment, and then to go after positions or life situations that would help them thrive in that setting. So I was the manager who would kind of pull people aside and say, is this really what you want to be doing with your life? And then help them get to a new place, which often served the organization. Sometimes it did not. And so I reached a point where I suddenly started to realize that that was my true calling and that I could make a much bigger difference in the world if I took my own advice and identified where my strengths were and then brought that to the marketplace in a different way. So about 6 years ago now, quit my corporate job, came home, spent about a month just mourning my identity, not sure what the heck I was going to do, and then decided it was time to reboot and refresh, and I built Professional Courage. When we first started, we were very focused on helping individual job seekers. So it was a lot of resume work and some executive coaching, things of that sort. Over the years, while we still support job seekers who are unemployed, we started doing a much more with individuals who are seeking career advancement, who are in a position but looking maybe to do something a bit different or to get promoted. So we support them from a branding perspective as well as a mindset around, again, rebooting and refreshing. And then now we also work quite a bit in the corporate programming space. Work quite a bit in the corporate programming space, delivering long-term training in order to help support really getting an engaged workforce that has an intentional career path in mind, as well as doing a lot of just different speaking conferences. Obviously, these days it's all virtual, so I handle that from my desk here in Cleveland, but getting out there and trying to help people understand what they need to do to have the needed courage to move forward.
Well, that's awesome. Now, I mentioned earlier that the employment landscape has obviously changed over the last year. Has anything about the changes surprised you, given your line of work? like whether it be small businesses struggling, if some of the companies that were able to adapt quicker were surprising, or even the number of people wanting to start their own businesses is shocking given the success rate of entrepreneurships. Because I could see why people want to go on their own because they don't want to rely on a company anymore if a pandemic like this happens again. But you also have that low success rate of entrepreneurships.
Sure. So here's what I've seen. First of all, I would say what was difficult to communicate to people in 2020, and individuals are starting to embrace it a bit more, was the idea that while, yes, many people were brought into unemployment and had unexpected job transitions, there were still industries that were thriving during that time. What I would often say to people is think about where you've spent money while in lockdown, because those companies are hiring and making money and continuing to support their employees. So while we saw a huge shift in maybe some industries and fields that people were spending their time in, it was not that there was a total lack and a complete void in a space of employment. What we see happening now that I am surprised by, because it's happening so much faster than I expected, is that the job market is booming. I was on a conference call with recruiters last week, and they can't find enough qualified candidates to fill those positions. And so what we're seeing is a lot of people who felt disparate during the pandemic and, you know, kind of just couldn't find themselves and maybe are still seeking, but unfortunately now are feeling just downtrodden about the process. This is a time that they really could benefit from a podcast like yours so that they kind of get that revitalization and energy to move forward, because there are jobs out there to be had for sure. In terms of entrepreneurship, you know, what we've found in our business, because we work with individuals who are making intentional changes as opposed to something that, you know, a transition that was kind of fell upon you or you were a result of a reduction in force, people have been a bit more shy about that. So I haven't seen as many professionals who are looking to leave the corporate space and start their own business. Quite frankly, I think because we're all kind of just feeling out the marketplace, and individuals who are, you know, feeling safe and gainfully employed tend to stay in that space. So my personal experience has not been to see a lot of entrepreneurs hit the market, but I suspect as we continue to rise and things are coming back that we will see much more of that based on the unfortunate experience that many had last year.
Was there anything that surprised? Okay, hold up. I want to talk about something real quick. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. Like, how do I record an episode? How do I get my show into all the apps that people like to listen to podcasts on? How do I make money from my podcast? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. As I mentioned, Anchor distributes your podcast to all the different platforms such as Google, Apple, Spotify, and it has some great background music you can add to your podcast to give it a little extra flair. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. As you, or was the most, what was the most difficult for you and that surprised you the most during the pandemic and the initial like lockdown and everything?
Sure. So a significant amount of our business has to do with me going out and, you know, talking with people in person. So as a professional speaker, you know, we book gigs by February, we had gigs booked out until September. So the week we went into lockdown, I mean, that drastically impacted our planned revenue for the year. While we were able to adjust and sort of mend to that, and everyone in the speaker circuit kind of got used to what it looked like virtually, for me, it then became more of a mind game. I think that we can be very effective as virtual speakers, but the pleasure, the enjoyment that I get from being in a physical space with people where I can feel and see their energy has yet to be replicated online. And so I still just miss, I don't miss airports, but I still just miss going out there and just being in the room and feeling that energy. And when the presentation is over, being able to stay and talk to people and hear their real reactions, whether it's critical feedback or someone telling me, you know, that they just heard what they needed to in order to go off and make a change in their life that they've been thinking about for months or years. I miss that aspect because when the Zoom call is over, we all just click leave meeting and it just kind of a void after laying yourself out there and being vulnerable for that 60 to 90 minutes in a keynote, then it's just, there's just space. And so I miss having that personal interaction. Once we dealt with the income shift, it was hard and continues to be to not have in-person speeches.
So I definitely got to ask you, how long did it take you to get used to the virtual keynote landscape? Because I know you've done other consulting and everything virtually for so long. And which between the two makes you more nervous? You said you enjoy the camaraderie, the being in person and everything. But which would make you more nervous? Large live keynotes in person or the virtual type where technical glitches can happen, such as a lawyer getting stuck as a cat filter?
what a great moment in time that was. So I get more nervous about the technical side. I think because my style is inherently reliant on the audience. I have a very good in the moment response to things. And so I don't get nervous, you know, getting ready to get on stage, let's say in front of 800 people to deliver a presentation because I trust in my ability and I get excited by kind of riding with the audience. Virtually, I'm not so worried the tech is going to mess up. I'm far more concerned about my own performance because, again, you don't have that same constant feedback loop of seeing people's faces reacting to what's going on. And that causes me to be a little bit too much in my own head about things. So I am certainly much more nervous to get onto a Zoom call with 50 people than I am to be in a room with 800 executives.
So have you typically stuck to Zoom? Is that what you find most companies have been using? Or have you tried like Google Meets or any of the other ones, like any software you find out there that's surprisingly better than others?
Sure. So we've run the gamut. We've tried them all. We've done them all. Sometimes organizations kind of dictate that we use whatever their platform is. I have found from a keynote perspective, you know, other than the fact that Zoom, for example, allows you to see more faces at once, and there's a lot of benefit to that. The keynote tends to be pretty similar across the platforms. From a training and interactive, like when we do workshops, Zoom is where it's at, just because of the level of features and the simplicity of breakout groups, how much strategic interaction you can generate so that people that are suffering from extreme Zoom fatigue can actually engage at a completely different level and feel like they are sitting in a real room. That to me is unparalleled with any other system.
And I don't know what all this hype was about GameStop like the last couple weeks, but I would have rather gotten my stock in Zoom like two right. years ago. Man, we missed the boat on that one.
Amen to that.
Now, as a coach, our job is to give our clients unobtrusive guidance and assistance. Have you found, given the challenging times we're facing, that any of your personal clients or companies have gone against the grain of what you're trying to help them with? And how do you react when that happens, or do they always follow your sage advice?
Oh, goodness, no. And I don't think that's pandemic related. I think what I've seen, you know, the fundamental nature of my work and what I, you know, the reason that we named the business Professional Courage is that I think that people are driven to action or driven away from action based on their fears. So I think the pandemic brought forward a different set of fears than individuals were used to dealing with. And as a result, we still see the same level, and in some cases more, some cases less, of resistance away from individuals kind of executing an action plan toward where they want to go. But in my work, it's much more about helping people frame out what does that longer term goal look like? What do you want your intentional career path to be? And how do you begin to work with your organization to create that path and be able to get there in the most efficient and effective way possible? And so people aren't so resistant to that. What we see is that there is a larger time crunch than ever before, at least in my experience, time management in this world, because so many of us now have that what was already a blurred work-life balance, that line has just been obliterated by working from home. And so I work with, you know, I'll work with a director who in an ordinary situation would have been time crunched to try to spend intentional time on his or her career development. Now, because they are just working and or homeschooling their children 24 hours a day, the ability to really stop and spend purposeful time on your own self-development is incredibly challenging.
Absolutely. I don't think anyone saw themselves being a stay-at-home teacher during this at all.
And certainly didn't. Yes.
Now, is that something that you're encouraging people to put on their resumes, that they're a stay-at-home teacher now too, or...
So if someone is unemployed because of the pandemic, anytime you're unemployed, quite frankly, there are different ways that we can create kind of, you know, a brand position around how it is you've been spending your time during unemployment so that it doesn't look like you kind of dropped in the marketplace and have been hanging out for a couple of years. So certainly caring for individuals in your home, caring for ailing family members, helping to support your child's education are examples of things that we could place there. But if one is still gainfully employed, we would continue to only reference their professional paid experience.
Yeah, that's a good tip, actually. Now, what would you say are like other set indicators in your mind that you kind of tell your clients to look for where, okay, you might be ready for a change if you check this box? Like, what are the indicators where people might be ready to make a change?
Make a change in their career?
Yeah. Like, cause, I think, again, you know, the idea is here is that people have been feeling stuck for so long, but we're also creatures of habit and we don't like change, as we have seen over the course of the last year. And sure. So this change has been extremely tough for everyone. So it's going to make sense that while they're not happy with what they're doing, they don't have that courage to make that change. They just want to keep going with their whole home life. So what would you say are the indicators like, okay, you need to make the change?
I think anytime that you are spending time and energy in an identity that does not serve you, then it's probably time to make a change. So recognizing that it's time to make a change and then actually executing that change, obviously two different topics. I'm happy to talk on the latter in a moment. But, you know, I think that when you... it's more than feeling restless. If you're starting to feel like the identity, you know, I'm a project manager and 50 hours a week, I'm putting time and energy toward being a project manager, and that identity is not serving me. It's not fulfilling me. It's not meeting my values. It's not helping me grow. It's not giving me the time I need with my family. It's not giving me the income. Whatever level of dissatisfaction or lack of service you may be experiencing, if your current identity, the one that you spend the most time in, is not serving you, then I would suggest that it's probably time to make a shift in that identity. And that's where you mentioned earlier, you know, we're doing a lot of content. I'm getting ready to release a book in 2021, and it is the requisite courage, which is, okay, once you figure out that you are stuck or you're ready to make a change, what now? What am I supposed to do to actually execute that change? And that's where we really, where my energy in working with clients and audiences come from, is helping them through that process.
All right. What do you mean by the requisite courage? Like, can you explain that term for us?
So I believe that to get the needed courage you have in life to make a change, to unleash your potential, to reboot and step up to greatness is really about three processes. I think the first is clarity. Many of us know that we're not in the right space, but have no idea what the right space looks like. And doing a bit of self-assessment can serve you in a lot of ways. So truly getting down to, what does my value structure look like from an external perspective? I'm sure that if you don't like your job, there are in fact aspects of that job you enjoy or once upon a time enjoyed, or you wouldn't have gotten it in the first place. So really getting down to not just, oh, I don't like the title of project management, but what are the aspects of my work, the things that I'm doing, the tasks I perform on a regular basis that I do enjoy? Maybe it's the relationship management. Maybe it's working with vendors. Maybe it's the analytics. getting down to that type of external, tangible task kind of list. And then we do the same thing in terms of the products or industries you like working for. So you get kind of a firm sense of where in that space do you enjoy spending your time. Also on the internal side, kind of that fulfillment factor, why are you working? Is it because you like solving problems, because you like making an impact on a company's bottom line? Is it because you're hoping to create a better future for your children? You know, whatever the case may be, getting really clear about what your value system looks like allows you to have a better sense of how you might translate those values into a different space. So I think the first piece is gaining clarity about your what. That clarity, our values feed our purpose. So the purpose really comes through with conviction, which is the second phase, where we say, okay, let's figure out why. Why is this important to you? And if you can leverage those values to understand your purpose, the purpose will ultimately drive action. So by that, I mean, let's gain some confidence. Let's identify and really attach ourselves to our greatest motivation, whatever that case may be. If it's a career perspective, right? I have, you know, we're both entrepreneurs. I have a different motivator behind why it is that I want to succeed as an entrepreneur than probably you do and every other entrepreneur out there. Really tapping into that core reason, the sort of, you know, the hill you would die on for your message, for your mission is incredibly important, I think, to make sure that you're kind of building that, the power so that when you get to that phase of having to actually face the fear, you've made it harder to go backwards than it is to keep stepping forward. So that's the why, right? So you have the what and the why, the clarity and the conviction. I think the way that you execute ultimately is through the word constancy. For a long time, I thought that word, Dustin, was consistency. I thought that if you just kept coming back to the table again and again and again and again and again, you would ultimately be successful. But the pandemic taught me, certainly, and from my experience, a lot of the clients I work with, that's not always the case because consistency doesn't leave a lot of space for resilience. It really doesn't teach us much about what if I know that I'm supposed to be consistent and produce a podcast once a week or always be available to my clients, but I couldn't do that in the pandemic, or I was homeschooling and spending a bit of time just grieving normal life. So I fell off and I didn't keep that consistency. How is it that I not waste time now, you know, punishing myself or being angry that I accidentally couldn't do something every day of my life? Whereas I think constancy, the concept of being intentionally consistent, but being resilient when that consistency fails, really kind of drives us to a place where we can create action out of that purpose that we identified in the why segment. So for me, the requisite courage comes from clarity, conviction, and constancy.
I love that constancy. That's such an awesome word. And flip on the idea of consistency. And you can apply that to not only, obviously, your work and changing your career and where you're going, but you could apply that to so much in life. I mean, I think about people that are trying to lose weight or dieting and going to the gym and they fall off because of, you know, the pandemic or just other changes in life and stuff. And because they've lost that consistency, they now are beating themselves up about it and not getting back into it. Whereas if they have that constancy, that's going to bring that resilience that you're talking about. That's a beautiful word. I love that concept. I'm excited for your book. That's awesome. Do you have a kind of a release date in mind for it?
We are hoping the fall of 2021. So yeah, we're kind of closing up some things and getting all of our ducks in the row in terms of the content and design and then sending it off to the editor. And we're hoping to definitely release sometime this year, but hoping to hit by fall.
Awesome. And is there, with books probably similar to this genre that you're putting out there, sometimes like workbooks that come along with it, or at least some exercises within the book itself for you to do, is that part of the plan, or am I Awesome.
Yes, no, absolutely. So you know me, Dustin, from day one, right? Part of my mission is making courage actionable. So as much as this book is intended to really reflect very real and raw stories of risk and resilience, I also need to make sure that people are walking away with, you know, with the tools to actually do something with that rather than just be profoundly impacted by the concept. So yes, there will be, you know, different exercises and actions that people can take to start to really make progress toward their own goals or, again, whatever barrier or roadblock they might be facing.
Awesome. What was the most surprising to you about the book writing process?
Oh, it's awful. It's the worst. you know, I read a book and I don't have it in front of me, so I'm totally blanking on the author's name. Forgive me. I don't know if you've ever read The War of Art. Not The Art of War, The War of Art. Is an incredible book that really dives into just the resistance factor and, you know, telling us the, you know, giving us a stronger sense of the, it's Stephen Pressfield. That's who it is. I'm sorry. So Stephen Pressfield, The War of Art, it really gives you a stronger sense of how much we face resistance, really crafted in our own minds, the closer we get to truly fulfilling who we were meant to be. So in the same way that, quite frankly, when I quit my job to start my business, within 2 weeks, I got a call from a recruiter that wanted to hire me for a job making almost twice what I had just walked away from. And to me, that entire experience was very much the universe kind of pushing me like, are you sure you want to do this? Because we're going to hang this carrot over here and kind of test your commitment. And The War of Art talks about that as it relates to writing and how easy it is to get into your own head and do everything you can to stop yourself from working on paper. And so that book has been proven to be very true for me in my experience. I am not a patient person. I like crossing things off a list. The idea that I need to just spend hours sitting down, writing and rewriting, and I'm not allowed to really edit my work while I'm going through it. I have to wait until I get enough stories to pull the whole thing together. That the resistance factor has been big, the patience factor. And for me, it's a whole new level of vulnerability. You know, I built the success of my business on this professional persona that gives people really great expert advice about their careers. And I am still that person. But as we talk about identities, I also bring a lot more to the table and allowing people to see that when I'm not on camera or sometimes even on camera, I'm kind of a hot mess. And that I struggled with many, if not more so, the same problems that many people did during the pandemic. And that, you know, I've been through divorce and child custody and remarriage and chaos and, you know, all those sorts of trauma. I think walking with people in that real and vulnerable space is what's really important in how we truly connect and then move people forward. But that is a very new identity for me to step into because I like being on screen where I get to dictate and curate what content people see. And the book takes away that shield.
That is powerful too, because while you're putting in all this work, trying to project yourself to look a certain way, you still can't actually control the way people look at you either. So they're still going to have their opinions. But I love your, I sent to you in a message when we talked about getting together with a podcast. You had, I guess, kind of relaunched your newsletters that you're sending out for Professional Courage. And your first one that I got was very open, very vulnerable and stuff. And I loved it. I mean, that just resonated so strongly with me. And some stuff we were talking about earlier before we started hitting record. And I just love that you are taking that time to be more vulnerable, because honestly, it's people that are real and have been there before and are able to stand up and say, hey, look at me. Like, yes, I've struggled. I've been here. I've done this. But I still made it, and I want to help you through it too. Those are the kind of people that we want to follow, walk alongside with, have in our corners, all those things. So kudos to you for being that transparent and vulnerable and stuff, and still doing so with that touch of professionalism that you do.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that feedback. It has been, just even clicking send on that newsletter, that first kind of we're coming to the market with this vulnerability was terrifying. And so I appreciate so much the positive feedback and people that are willing to kind of, and I think that's another thing the pandemic brought all of us is, you know, the Zoom cat, like that individual was more vulnerable than he's likely been, certainly to the world, but even to his peers at that moment, right? The pandemic pulled back the curtain on a lot of things. And all of us, you know, women for decades who have struggled to try to make it look like they're all in on work and they never think about their kids. That's ridiculous. And now you can physically see us trying to manage both of them at the same time. Not to say that men don't have that same challenge in many cases, but they certainly have not been put up against. They haven't had to fight through the idea that if you are a mom at the same time, you must not be good at work. And so I think the pandemic brought this new phase of it's okay to be vulnerable. And in fact, that level of authenticity is necessary to communicate and connect with people. And as much as I know that cerebrally, I appreciate the feedback from anyone who's kind of supporting us along these initial stages of vulnerability, because it is scary to put yourself out there.
Absolutely. So for anyone that is looking to make a change or even see if a change is something that they should even kind of a tiptoe or put a toe in the water about doing, what ways can they get a hold of you and find out more information about Professional Courage?
Sure. So you can visit our website, professionalcourage.com. And from there, you can gain access to the resources we have for individual job seekers who are thick in the midst of a career transition. The Professional Courage website provides all kinds of different information about how to follow us on LinkedIn and gain access to the different materials we put out there around career wellness from a corporate perspective. And then you can certainly choose to hop over to my personal website, my speaker and author site, chriswiggin.com, where you can sign up for the newsletter that you just talked about and kind of follow us on some of those channels where we're bringing forth those stories of risk and resilience, like on Instagram and Facebook and things of that sort. So professionalcourage.com, that website will take you to all of those other cool spots.
And one quick other note, we were just talking about being transparent and everything. Suggestions on not being too vulnerable, too transparent when it comes to your social media pages, like Facebook, LinkedIn, especially when you're getting ready to start looking for a job. What kind of suggestions do you have there?
Sure. So online reputation management is still first and foremost. And that's even happening as we go into this new vulnerable brand, is you have to have an intended audience behind what you're trying to do, right? There's got to be a purpose that's feeding that content. If your intentional audience is just for you to interact with your friends, then make sure your settings are set as such that it's locking down that information and you are in fact only communicating to your friends. But the general rule of thumb from anyone who is pursuing any external face in social media is if it's not something you want your grandma to read, then it doesn't belong out there. And so even when we are putting together some of these materials, the newsletter that will come out tonight is actually, you know, I talk a bit about my divorce. And if that was information I didn't want my children to have access to, or my ex-husband, or my husband, Rick, or my parents, then I wouldn't be able to put it out there, because whatever it is that's going out, we have to know that now in the age of screenshots, it could exist forever. And so I tell people, you know, again, if you wouldn't be comfortable sitting down and having a conversation about that topic with your grandmother, then it doesn't belong online. And that pretty much kind of covers everybody, whether you're looking to transition your career or start your own business or grow your existing business. If you're comfortable owning it to grandma, then you should be okay online. But if you're not, I would think twice.
Absolutely. We've definitely seen quite a bit of that, especially with the political landscape this past year as well. But Chris, yes, thank you so much for your time today. Again, this is Chris McWiegan with Professional Courage, founder and CEO. She's more than happy to help you in the next stages of your career search or career transition. And look for her book to come out later on this year, The Requisite Courage. You can, again, check her out at professionalcourage.com. Chris, thank you again so much for coming on. Hope you have a wonderful rest of the day and hope you stay healthy.
Thank you so much, Dustin. You as well.
Thank you. And that is it for another episode of Coming Unstuck, a Step Up to Greatness podcast. Make sure you come back and join us again. In the meantime, keep moving forward. Step up to greatness. What's going on, everyone? Dustin here, wanting to say thank you again for checking out my podcast. Be sure to leave a review or comment on this episode on your favorite podcast provider. And be sure to subscribe and share with your friends that you think would find this information useful. In the meantime, keep moving forward and step up to greatness.